Brother Dick used to sing, and I really loved it, and we miss him. I'm not going to cry while I sing. We miss Sister Gail, too, so. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread his love to everyone you want to pass it on. What a wondrous time is spring, when all the trees are budding, the birds begin to sing, and the flowers start their blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I've found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
Let's all stand. I truly miss him. We spoke every day. Every day. And he'll tell you, he was an only child. Amen. But he was special to me. He felt that slot when my father was present. Sister Gail, too. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
You love him tonight.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Sing it to him.
Oh, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. We want to see the blessings of the Lord tonight, don't we? Amen. We want to see what he's got in store for us. We come expecting. We had a good time this weekend with Brother Trevor. Good to have him with us. And sent him a little message today, and he said the same thing. He had a real good time. So we had a good time in the Lord. And I know we got a lot out sick tonight. And your sister's good, right? Esther? Esther had her wisdom teeth taken out, wasn't it? Yes. And she's good. Okay. All right. As long as she's okay, that's good. She'll be quiet for a little while, though. You'll get, yeah. Don't raise your eyebrows like that, man. Just go, yeah, my sister will be quiet for a while. But little sister Esther Black had her wisdom teeth taken out, so let's remember her and all these other ones in prayer. And also remember that we have a visitor tonight, so we have to speak slowly so he can understand what we're saying. He tells us that when he watches us on YouTube, he turns me to about 1 1/4 and turns Dad to 2. So if you don't know what that is, you can speed the voice up on YouTube. You can speed it up or slow it down. So he speeds it up so he can hear it in that Minnesota language that he speaks, because they speak real fast up there. So good to have him with us today. Come all the way from Minnesota and to be with us. And he's turned around, taking off for a little vacation time with the family over in South Carolina. So may the Lord bless him. Thank you for being here with us. All right. And then this weekend, it'll be Brother Dale and myself. We'll be back to a normal weekend. And then the next weekend, which will be Easter Sunday, June and I will be in Arizona from the 2nd of April to the 6th of April with Brother Chris Long, doing his meeting out there and spending some quality time out in Arizona. So just keep us in your prayers. Like I said, there's a lot of sick among us. We pray that the Lord will take care of each one of us. Brother Colley's getting over the COVID and all that, and he's doing good. So we thank the Lord for bringing us out of these things. Amen. A lot of people hadn't made it. A lot of people are getting sick for other things now, from different diseases and stuff. And we just pray that the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the healing power that comes with it will touch each one of us and keep us all safe. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to be on eternal redemption, part 11. Go to Hebrews 9:11. We'll read our scriptures, run through these quotes pretty quick. And I was going to go, we're getting into the sixth dimension, but there's so much to that sixth dimension that there's one little place that we always forget, but it's part of the plan of redemption, and it's called paradise. Totally a part of redemption. Had to be put there, and we're going to prove tonight and show why it had to be put there. You couldn't just put the Old Testament saints into the sixth dimension, because that's the born again, that's the Genesis 1:26 man after they pass away here and go into another sixth dimension, right? That is just for them. So there's got to be a place for these other ones, and thank God there was a plan, an eternal plan that included the ones in paradise that died under the blood of bulls and goats. Amen. So we'll look at that tonight. Hebrews 9:11. So let's bow our heads and talk to the author one time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day and hour you've give us to live in. Lord, as we were thinking yesterday and just kind of reminiscing on all the people that we know and the people that we've all come in contact with that we know around the world that are truly friends of ours and brothers and sisters in Christ that we would have never met if it hadn't been for this message. And Lord, but you, because of this eternal plan, Lord, it's kind of like a family reunion get together. We know that there's family out there. We just hadn't met them all yet. And if we don't meet them on this side, we know we're going to meet them on the other side. So Lord, you've set this thing up where, as Brother Branham was saying there, that right after the resurrection, that we'll be 30, 40 days just looking around to see if this one made it and that one made it. Then we're going to turn our eyes and we're going to focus our face on you, Lord, because we'll meet you in the air and ever, never to be away from you again. Lord, we thank you for that, Father. We know that this time that we're living in, we are separated from you by these dimensions and by these bodies that we live in. But Lord, we know in spirit and our soul, we commune with you, Lord, as much as we let you commune with us. Father, we pray that you'd commune with us tonight, Lord. You do the speaking of the word to the people. May they receive something from you. Bless all the ones that are sick, the ones that are needy, Lord, the sin sick, all the ones on this list right down below my feet on the wall, Lord. We look at it sometimes, and Lord, we want them all to come in. We don't want to lose one of them, Father, because they're connected to some family member in this church. Father, we pray that you would just be with us now and take care of us in the furtherment of this service. Keep us safe in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessing to the reading of the word. But there had to be a part of redemption that had to be played by the Old Testament saints. And there had to be a place for them to go. There couldn't just be one where, because they died under good faith, and we'll read what the prophet says, but let's continue through here and see, just kind of go back, and let's read this one from Job 19:55, Job being the oldest book in the Bible. Let's read the red to save time. Redemption is one of the oldest things in the Bible. Did you know redemption was even before, the plan of redemption was laid out before the world was ever formed? Think of that. Look, God foreseeing. I keep looking at that word, foreseeing, because that's foreknowledge. Amen. By foreknowledge, this eternal plan, you say, well, it had to have a beginning. No, it doesn't. It was in the mind of God. Listen, this plan of redemption was in the mind of God from, you can't say when he started, it always was. Because it can't change. Right. If it was the eternal thoughts of God. Now look, there's eternal thoughts of God, and there's thoughts of God. And he's the only one that can keep them separated, because me and you can remember everything we did back, right, Brother Donnie? But now, according to God, he's put our sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. So some way he can wipe that out. I don't know, I can't say some way. I know how he did it. He's God. And when he died at Calvary, we'll look at some really wonderful quotes where Brother Ram talks about what happened at Calvary, because that was where the mind of God was transferred to earth into a man named Jesus. And then Jesus, what did he do? He did what God foresaw. Right. And as Brother Dale's been preaching, listen, Jesus had to come. Right. He didn't just say, well, now there'll be somebody maybe born in B.C. 4 that'll maybe he'll be the one I choose. No, that was God himself. Right. And being, he wasn't part of the plan. He was the plan. Amen. But he became and made himself part of the plan. That would be like the guy that writes the play or writes the script for the movie and then he stars in the movie. Right. Amen? Because God wrote the script, saw it happen, and played a big part in it. Because he had to die to fulfill God foreseeing and making a way of redemption before he even made the world. That gave Adam and Eve a chance. That gave even Cain a chance to make it. So that gave everybody a chance to make it. Before he ever made the world, for the Bible plainly says that Christ was predestinated, foreordained, and was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Does everybody understand that? Jesus, it wasn't like Jesus was he thought he might be God, or he just decided. No, see, you and I are disconnected from that. Jesus came in human flesh, predetermined that he was going to be here because he was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. It wasn't somebody that just come down here and received him like me and you. We don't know who's saved and who's not saved, or who's going to be saved and not saved. But we know there had to be God Almighty in human flesh, according to the Old Testament, which was several hundred scriptures telling us how he was going to get here and who he was. And when he came according to that, they hated him and killed him. But that was part of the plan. That was part of the plan. Foreordained. And was the Lamb of God. There couldn't nobody else take the place. We were talking about Brother Branham today at lunch. We were talking about Brother Branham. You know, he's the only one that could stand and preach some of the greatest sermons he ever preached, knowing nobody in the whole congregation was ever understanding one thing he was saying. All they wanted was to see the signs and wonders. Listen, I was telling them today, have you ever realized this? Brother Ram spent 40-something years, Brother Luis, tearing down the major doctrines of all the denominations of the world, especially Catholic. How many of them dissolved and moved to the tabernacle? Zero. Zero. Now there was people come out of there. People come out of those denominations, but you would have thought if he tore that thing down and just tore the foundation apart of your denomination or your belief, then you would go, well, we have no denomination. Let's close our headquarters and we're going to go with this guy. No, that's not what it, but that wasn't part of the plan either. Because it said, come out of her, my people. There had to be a her that even went all the way to the end time, being the whore and the harlot daughters. So see, that was predetermined. There had to be the whore, there had to be the harlot daughters. Brother Brown didn't come to dissolve that. Sure, he come to destroy their doctrine, but not a one of them left its denominational whole. They're still Baptists, still Catholics, and they're growing like crazy. So who is it to? It's to the select few. Mom raised her hand, I'll raise my hand. It was to the select few. Even the people that were sitting there that time when the seals were being preached, Brother Russ is in the questions and answers on the seals, and Brother Brown said, it's not for you, it's gone from you. You're not even going to get it. It's not even, listen, he said it's not even for you. Now that was 1963. You say, well, that was it was done, finished, nobody's going to get it. Now, no, he said, but no, right around the coming of the Lord, these things will come together, in other words, and there'll be a preacher, let's Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Put this on 1.25, big boy. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word, what? Through preaching. The whole fivefold ministry, not just onefold, all fivefolds, has to be given to perfect the saints unto me according, which is committed unto me. Paul didn't have a problem. Some people may thought Brother Trevor was a little bold. Some people may think I am, but you know what? There's people that are chosen to take this thing and sweep it onto the coming of the Lord. I'm just dumb enough to believe that I'm gonna connect myself to that. Amen. And I'm gonna give him what gift I have and let him use it for the glory of the Lord. Amen? And so you should be the same way. We shouldn't be cocky or arrogant, but we should be confident in that you're in the right message, you're hearing the right word, and you are born again, and you are the bride of Jesus Christ. Now listen, that takes everything else and puts it down low. Right? But now if you build yourself up, you got a problem. See, you build yourself up, you got a problem. But now, who would look at Paul, though, and Paul said, you're going to be judged by my gospel. Others would have thought Paul was elevating, because remember, he even says, I magnify my office. Right. Paul was a hook-nosed Jew. Paul was Jewish. He had maybe a little bit of quick temper. Right. But he was bringing a message that was going to solidify the early church, that was going to take that early church and make it settled, make it established. Go to Ephesus and not worry about right here in Ephesians 1 where we're talking about now. Let's go to there. Because this is to the Ephesians. He said, look, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Now, that's pretty tough to take. But we're chosen in him. If you're chosen in him, then you take whatever he's got, that's what I get. Right. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children, adoption is predestinated. Right. Adoption is predetermined because we have to have adopted sons and daughters of God to get out of here. They did not need adopted sons and daughters of God in Luther's day, in Wesley's day, in Pentecost. That was not required, but in this age it's required to go up that statue of a perfect man, to go to adoption, to go to the fullness of Christ, because we're talking about doing something no one has ever done before, and that's taking a body change by what we have inside of us. Amen. Now look, Martin Luther had the same Holy Ghost you've got. But it could only work by what word that he could see and that God allotted for that time. You understand what I'm saying? God allotted so much for each age. I read that quote to you a long time ago. Brother Bram said each age was allotted what? According to Revelations 1 through 3. They were allotted Ephesian church age, and like Brother Trevor said in the book, each There were seven actual cities that were in Asia Minor. Called these different churches. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis. And they fit the character of the people that was going to be in the age. Because look right here. Columba was from where? He was from Ireland. He lived in Ireland. I don't even know that he left the island. We don't know that. But the Thyatira, that Thyatira city was over in Asia Minor. But God took the characteristics of what that church, what that city was, matched it with, by the prophet, matched it with Columba's character and the character of the people of that age. Because remember, Columba died before his church age started. So it had to be. They couldn't press. Anyway. Their messenger died before the church age started. So it had to be what? Yeah. It had to be the preachers that took the message of Columba and took it to the people. Amen? I'm just, as they say at my work, there's a little girl worked there. She said, just saying. Just saying. You know, you look at it and you say, well, this church age messenger wasn't even in his age. But you know what, though? His preaching, the character of his preaching, though, carried through that 1,500 years. Columba's age was the largest age. It was like almost, it was 1,000 years. So those messengers had to carry through that. Those preachers behind pulpits, and behind pulpit in that day meant you died if the Romans came in the door. But they preached it anyway. And they got that to Luther's age. Amen? So they persevered. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us what? Accepted in the beloved. That's why I said before, you and I cannot stand before judgment if we're chosen in Christ. We've already been judged. When he went to Calvary, we were judged. All those that are in that sixth dimension, they have been judged. Even those that were in paradise, we'll read in just a minute. I'll let Brother Bram explain to you. Let's look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being what? Predestinated. There's that predestinated. Now, predestinated is right. It's predetermined. Destiny. But it's by what? Foreknowledge. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And we were talking about foreknowledge again just before. I don't want to beat this to death, but still, we need to see this. Because if you just look at predetermined, you can't read the message of the hour. Ooh. You can't. And get it right. Because the way you look at Brother Branham, you look at one way he makes quotes, it's like you could not go any other way. You came here wheat. You came here an eagle. You came here. Well, then I've got the quotes here. Was it? No, you came here a cuckabar. Right. So if you don't put them two together, then you do have confusion. Right. I was thinking about what Trevor was saying the other day. You know, I don't blame some people for press and play. They've heard so much junk out there of message preachers saying Brother Branham was wrong here or he did this or that over there. They probably need to press play, maybe to bring themselves back, but they will never get perfected by just pressing play because they can't go past the Bible. The Bible says for the perfecting of the saints, he give a fivefold ministry. And you know what? You know there's no plan without you. There's no predetermining without you. There's no foreknowledge without you. A plan's not a plan. You can draw up the best football plan in the world. But you gotta have 11 men on that. And guess what? There's 11 other guys that have put their plan and they want to put it in force too. Right? So that's the way it is with you and me. We've got our plan. Satan's got his plan. But we gonna win. It may look bad every once in a while, but we're going to win because this is an eternal plan. Glory. Satan's plan may work for him, and it is. It's going to take the world into chaos. Amen? That's what it's doing now. But that plan has an end. That plan comes to an end at the, what? White throne judgment and then the burning in the fire. That's where that ends. And guess what we do? We just go right into the future home and just keep right on going. That eternal plan of redemption. Romans 8, verse 29, save time. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to what? Look, you're not just predetermined. You're predetermined to do something. To be conformed to the image. In other words, to what's the image of God? You say, oh, I isn't. This is the image of God. This forms every image that God ever has been, ever will be, and every character, every characteristic of God is right here. Now, what did the prophet do? The prophet made sure, the Holy Spirit, through the prophet, made sure that we saw the right picture. Because see, the denomination plan of redemption is different from ours. You say, oh, bro, well, why are we sitting here? Why aren't we saying blessed Holy Trinity and baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? And why aren't we believing in an eternal hell? And why aren't we believing that we got to go through 7 years of tribulation, maybe 3.5 here and 3.5 over there, but they still believe in that you go through a tribulation period. Now, that's their denominational idea. We're different from that. Why? Because the prophet of God came and said, this is it. I was telling them before, you know, Brother Branham used many people. Uriah Smith, Clarence Larkin, all these different ones. He even used Scofield. Right. Listen, Brother Branham is not the one that came up with theophany. Right. Scofield's got it right here before Brother Branham even was born almost. Yeah. Brother Branham read it though, but you can read Scofield, and Scofield somewhere in here in his footnotes, he says, see, the Trinity is laced all through the Bible. He was Trinitarian. He had that Trinitarian idea. But Brother Branham gleaned from this one, gleaned from that one, very well-read individual. And he read all these, but you know what he done? He took it back to God. Remember, he took it back to the Word. And that's what you and I are supposed to do. Take it back to the Word. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate what? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Watch. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Because you got to remember, we're going to read here in a few minutes. You and I go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost to get the new birth. The Old Testament saints were justified under the blood of bulls and goats, but not saved. Not Holy Ghost filled. Now and I thought there might have been a pushback a couple of Sundays ago when I was at Brother Richard Hyatt's, and he don't mind me saying because we talked about it afterward. He said, that was marvelous how you brought it out. And I said, well, it's true. John the Baptist, the Bible says he got the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. But that baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new birth is different. There is a difference in the baptism of the Holy Ghost because you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. But you can't have the new birth in your soul and die and go to hell. So John was anointed by the Holy Ghost to do his job because I'm going to prove right here he was in paradise. I found that quote. I'd never seen it before. Brother Branham said, there was John in paradise with Abraham, Isaac. He was an Old Testament prophet. Everybody all right with that? We know that, but there's a lot of people who didn't know that. And sometimes people will cross their eyes. We've had many discussions. Donnie's had one with a brother, a preacher in the message that said that, oh no, they got the new birth in the Old Testament just like we did. I just walked away because there wasn't no need of me doing anything. I was going to see what he'd do. He lived through it. Maybe didn't change the brother's mind, but still you can't do that. You can't have the Savior or the salvation of that kind of salvation before the Savior. So the Bible says the death has to be a death of the testator to become a New Testament. The Old Testament was like the bosom of Abraham. It was the faith of Abraham. It was the faith of those Ten Commandments and all the laws and the prophets. We'll read it in a second. But see, that's not what we're living under. Excuse me. Let's go to number 3. We'll skip through these if y'all don't mind. Brother Bob's working back there. He can get it. How can I take a cucumber and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be is because inside that kookaburra has been transmitted from a kookaburra wheat, a kookaburra to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury that kookaburra and it produces a grain of wheat. Listen, we buried a lot of kookaburras around here. Yeah. But you'll never see that cucklebear again. Because that transforming power of what was inside of them is in that sixth dimension. Well, when that sixth dimension person comes back into this dimension, because we're going to read here in a minute, look, excuse me, when Samuel died and went across, excuse me, whatever you want to call it, we shouldn't eat that much, across the curtain of time, and he comes back, he's Samuel, still with a robe on, and they recognize who he is. He was in a dream condition, is like Brother Brown said. So he didn't change to a young man. Nope, he did not. Because I'll prove to you in just a minute, Brother Brown, even when Jesus went to paradise, there was Abraham and Sarah, but he says when they resurrected, he said they were young. See, when they resurrected, not while they were in paradise. Paradise is just a holding place, and that's why, and listen, to me that's very important. Where would you have put those people? That plan, we know it's perfect, but you keep looking at it and you go, man, he thought of everything. He thought of everything and it's perfect. Then you bury that cucklebear, it'll produce a grain of wheat. Because there has been a life of wheat put in that cucklebear. And we know that because that's what happened at the new birth. Then this new life has been fully developed out of the ground and raised up again. When it comes back, no more cucklebear, but wheat. But while it's here on the earth, cucklebear, still sticky, but it's got the nature on the inside of that wheat.
Amen.
And it talks about having a carnal nature. So let's jump on through here real quick. We know what the first three dimensions were. They were life, light, time, and matter. And we're all now caught in that dimension. And listen, even when Jesus came into this dimension, he was caught here. There was no recording of him traveling through walls. Now, there's a couple of times that he said that he disappeared in the crowd. I believe he just changed their vision. Just like they did in the Old Testament. Remember, here stands Elisha. Here stands Gehazi. Elisha said, there's more for us than against us. And Gehazi's going, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 10,000. 1, 2, 10,000. What did Elisha say? Lord, open his eyes. Now look, those angels were already there. They didn't develop. They were already there because the prophet saw them. He just said, open my servant's eyes. Because remember what happened in that situation. Elisha went to the Syrians and said, who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Elisha. He said, come here, I'll show you where he's at. It was him. God had changed their vision to where they didn't see who he was. Because remember, when they get over right in the middle of the camp of the Israelites, what'd God do? Open their eyes. Their eyes wasn't shut. They just couldn't see what was going on. So I believe Jesus just changed their vision a little bit. And he just walked right. Remember, they were going to throw him off a cliff and they were going to do all these things. He just disappeared in the crowd. If we're going to make it to a body change, that may be what's going to happen to me and you. Amen. That's the speaking condition. That's the adoption. That's the having supreme power in control, right. Not out of control. Right. Amen. Then Luke 16, it's proved that Abraham said, son, remember that thy lifetime you receive as good things like Lazarus, evil things. You understand this is where Lazarus is over here. Rich young ruler's over here, but they can't cross each other. There is a boundary there, even in the paradise versus hell, there's a gulf there that they couldn't cross back and forth to. But the witch of Endor could call Samuel up and then he could look behind Samuel and he said, I see gods. She said, I see gods raising up out of the earth. Brother Brown said she opened up that portal in that dimension and she saw everything. But you can't do that now. He said, you can't do that now because we'll read it in just a minute. So that's Luke 16. We know that you cannot pass from one dimension to the other. We're stuck in this dimension until God takes us out of here. Amen. Until death takes us into another dimension or until we take a body change, we're stuck here. But you know what? It's part of the plan. Because right here on this earth is where we're going to prove that there is a God. We're going to prove there is a plan of redemption. We're going to prove that a cucklebear can be changed into a wheat. We're going to prove that God, as Brother Trevor was saying, this is God's body. There's no other body on the earth. This is God's body. He doesn't even step foot here until the millennium. We go to meet him. Because there'd be two bodies on the earth at the same time, as we were talking about. All right, let's go to the next one. John 12:28. There came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and glorified it again. The people therefore stood by and heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to me. We were talking today about the great opening of the seals, and I believe that's what happened. They just heard a voice. Not saying, listen, not de-Christianizing anyone that was sitting during those seals or any time under Brother Branham's message. You understand me? They were in their time and their place. Born again. Amen? But not being able to get the full revelation of the open book. Some of them probably still didn't, you know, after even Brother Branham left, they never, some called him a prophet. Some said, well, he's just a good preacher with a gift. Because you know what? They turned around, went right back into the denomination they were in when he died. So what? They didn't get a full revelation of what was going on. So same thing I believe there where Jesus is standing on the earth. He's preached his sermon. This is when he's getting ready to leave. And God was talking to him. God was talking to Brother Branham. Many people heard the voice, but they didn't get, or heard the thunder, but they didn't get the voice behind it. Because that part of the plan is, and we're going to see here in a few minutes, that when Jesus cried with a loud voice, it said it was finished. Amen? All right, now look, that's the first three dimensions. We talked about the sound barrier. We know about that, that when you break the sound barrier, that it almost shakes the bolts. Think about me and you the same way. But after that, you know, it gets a little better. But after you break the sound barrier, there's always a noise and there's always a cloud. Fourth dimension. Let's look at that. Science, the tree of knowledge. I'm going to try to get through this because I want to get to the other part pretty quick. Now, we have contact through science, the fourth dimension as it was, because coming right through this building now comes pictures, voices of radio, pictures on television that our senses can't contact. Now, you can't contact it, but it can influence you. Remember, we were talking the other day about the subliminal messages. You know, they had to cut that out because they were doing that in movies. They were flashing up Coca-Colas, you know, and popcorn and all that stuff. And you're wondering, why? I just ate two cheeseburgers at McDonald's. Why am I hungry? And why am I thirsty? Well, that subliminal, why? Your subconscious was catching that because it was faster than your eye could contact. Remember, your hands are even faster than your eyes. A hand is quicker than the eye. Amen? So now look, we have contact through that, but they have a tube or a crystal to pick up the ether waves. And then we're going to get to the question and answers on the seals. You'll get to it in just a little bit. Maybe on your trip back to the coast. Believers don't go to the beach. Believers go to the coast. Don't forget that. There's no sense in our body can detect, number six, our television over the ether waves. Yet right through us now is coming people's voices. Now, I like what Brother Brown said, because look, that device doesn't create the image. The image is there. I've got to take this device to take your picture and send it somewhere else, but you're who you are. It's not that you... Now listen, this end time, Photoshop and all those different things, yeah, they can just about almost create you. But back when Brother Brown was talking about it, you couldn't do that. You couldn't manipulate pictures like that. So what he was saying was, it had to be something. That's what I believe he was talking about, questions and answers on the seals. He said, something's going on. Something, he said, the voice of God is in this building. Now, the literal voice of God, but who was picking it up? He said, it's gone from you. Let's read that. Let's go right down to number 8. Don't make yourself odd to be a Christian because you see, you take yourself away from God. And you, there's that you. And you, if you can understand it, this is that third pull. See, he kind of stuttered on that. We're talking about Brother Ram stuttering, seeing what God would have him to say. You should have caught that the other day. You remember, there'll be no impersonation like there was of the other two, see? So that's as far as you should know. Now just remember, that you see now there's something taking place in this room. Now, he's pretty specific. He said there's something taking place in this room. In other words, at the tabernacle, while he's preaching, there's something going on. And that's pretty, you know, they should have went, man, where is it? What's going on? But watch. So that's as far as you should know. Now just remember that you see now there's something taking place in this room. And there's something here. There's actual in this room angels. Voice of God. Not just an angel's voice. Voice of God. But how you can't, he's trying not to tell them it ain't for them, but he's going to anyway later on. But watch what he's, but look, how do you can't, now watch, if you can't hear the natural voice without something to send it out, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice? Now, you might make believe that somebody is singing this certain song, make believe. There's no make believe in God. You might make believe he's preaching on something besides what he's preaching on. But no, watch this. That might not even be there, see, but when it actually strikes the crystal that it's supposed to strike. That it's supposed to strike. Not any crystal. Not any crystal in the spectrum of all the different waves and different things. No, there's one. When it actually strikes the crystal that it's supposed to strike, look, then it gives a true interpretation and vindicates it by showing the picture. Vindicates it by showing the picture. What is the picture? This is the picture. That wasn't the picture. They weren't getting the seals. You and I are getting the seals. Amen? It vindicates it by showing the picture. See what I mean now? The Spirit of God, look, watch this. Now the Spirit of God, when it speaks through the true word, it vindicates itself to show itself that it's right. You understand now? He said, all right, which they probably didn't. And look, not belittling those people at all. I'm just telling you, they had a time and a place. I want to ask you something, though. Are you stuck back there? Are you stuck back there under what? God sent a prophet. You got to ask yourself that question. Are you stuck back there with them going, oh, God sent a prophet. All we got to do is press play. That's stuck in another time. And it's not the right crystal. This is the right crystal. Today you're hearing, not just from me, you're hearing by a fivefold ministry, you're hearing the right crystal. Now, do you have the right crystal to take it? Because you gotta be cut the same as the one that's sending it. Or you can't pick it up. So we gotta be cut the same. But thank God there is a fourth dimension. It's a horrible time, Brother Branham said, you know, even demons and cancer and all that travels in the fourth dimension. But so does God. So does his angels. They free travel through the fourth dimension. It's just according to what you listen to. And what you let go down to here, from here to here. All right, now we talked about the fifth dimension, which is hell. All right, everybody got that? Now the fifth dimension is where the sinner, the unbeliever, dies and goes to. Now look, the fifth dimension is kind of, well, the horrible dimension. Now, and when a Christian dies, he goes into the sixth dimension and God is in the seventh dimension. We'll cover those a little bit later. Now then you see the Christian, when he dies, he goes under the altar of God. Look, right into the presence of God. Now look, be careful with that, because you don't go into the presence of the Almighty person of God. Everybody understand that? Because remember, when Brother Branham, we'll read it next Sunday, when Brother Branham goes in the sixth dimension, he said, where's Jesus? He said, I don't want to see him. He said, you can't see him now. He's higher. What? He's in a faster dimension than even what Brother Branham had got himself into, which was way faster than where his body was laying back down there about 20 feet below him. Now the fifth dimension. Now you see the Christian, when he dies, he goes under the altar of God, right into the, see, that is the presence of God. We feel the presence of God here, but that is the presence of God. In that sixth dimension, there's not good days and bad days. There's not trouble and heartaches and trials one day and sunny days the next. No, you went into the presence of God as much as you're going to get until God himself comes. But listen, let's take it while we can. Take every bit of it we can, because we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us. All right, now look, to break it down, when a man has a nightmare, he's not altogether asleep, neither is he awake. Some, like some of y'all that are sitting here right now. He's between sleep and awake. And not you.
No, I'm awake.
No, you're good. He said he ate too much sweets. He might take a nap, so y'all just bear with him. I told him if he did it quietly, it wouldn't matter. Most of y'all do the same thing. And that's what makes him have a horrible shaking and screaming, because he's not asleep and he's not awake. To take that and to take that shows where a man goes when he dies unconverted. He's lived his time out. Now listen, right here, you say, well, now all those Old Testament saints, they weren't born again, so they must have been. No, they're not there. They're not in a horrible place. They were not unconverted. They were converted for their time. They had faith for their time. They believed in their prophets. They believed. Listen, I'll read this in just a minute. I'm going to read all these quotes where Brother Brown talks about, look, when Jesus, we dwell on when Jesus went to hell and preached to the souls in prison that did not repent in the long suffering of the days of Noah, right? So that was before the flood. All those people that were unconverted, he preached to them. But now remember, there was a converted group down there called Paradise. Because he didn't stop and go from hell all the way back up and rose on in this dimension. No, he had to stop and pick up the ones that were converted. So there was an unconverted bunch. But remember, the converted bunch had several that were before the flood. Because there was eight souls that were saved. Right? Argue with the prophet. I don't know about him. But you don't understand what I mean? But I'll read it to you in just a minute. You argue with that. But you know what? We're not to argue about things like that, because that really has nothing to do with our salvation. But it does show the plan of redemption and how it works down through the time. All right, is everybody okay with that? So to break it down, a man dies unconverted. He's lived his time up. He's dead on earth, and he cannot go in the presence of God, because he's not fit to go there without the blood. Now remember, now you can put Paradise in that group, because Brother Brown's going to say they can't go in the presence of God because the blood of bulls and goats covers their sin. They still took it with them. Until Christ come and emptied Paradise. To me, Paradise is wonderful. Because it was a group of people that never saw Jesus, never saw Jesus Christ, kind of like the fifth sealed Jew. Didn't care about, I mean, they didn't know, I didn't say they don't care, but they at least listened to their prophet and they died realizing that something was coming. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and 6,000 or 5,000 years later, here he come. But he, before even that happened, he was waiting. Isaiah, Ezekiel, we'll read it in just a minute. He cannot come back to earth. He's caught because his time's finished here on earth. And he's caught between. He's in a nightmare. Now remember, hell's not burning. We already read that. I think we'll read it here again. He can't go in the presence of God to rest. Could you imagine dying all them years ago and you can't rest? Boy, those in the sixth dimension were just resting. Kind of like some of y'all now, resting with your eyes closed. But now them in the fifth dimension, I promise you they're not sleeping. They know they're in a wrong place. And he's caught. He cannot come back to earth because his time's finished. And he's caught between. He's in a nightmare. See, he can't go in the presence of God to rest. He can't back come to earth because his time's up. He's in a nightmare. And there he stays until the day of judgment. A horrible thing to be in, see. 1 Peter 3 verse 18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God." What's the long-suffering of God? 120 years, man, preach. One sermon. Not go up to the statue of perfect man. Not wait on the seals. It's going to rain. Get ready to get in the ark. It's going to rain. "While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water." Look at number 10. Souls are in prison now. Prophet of God said, "Now Jesus, after he had finished his ministry," watch this, "preached to those souls that were unsavable." How did he know that? Foreknowledge. Listen, if he hadn't had foreknowledge, how big would that boat have had to be? That boat only held 8 human beings and whatever 2 of each kind. That was it. Ever how big it is. If I was Noah, I'd be going, "Lord, how can we get all these people?" Because you know, like Brother Brown said, there were some that didn't believe none at all, and there were some that kind of hung around the door. I mean, Noah's guy, man, you got to get in this ark. I don't know where we're going to put you. But see, God knew that at the very end, as soon as he shut that door, he knew there was nobody else. Same way with the Gentile door. Once he shuts that door, there'll be no other Gentile saved. But he knows who that is, all right? They were unsavable. They could not ever be saved. See, there's the foreknowledge of God. That if he'd have given them all 1,000,000 years, put them past the flood down to this day, they still would not repent. They would deny what you're listening to right now. They would deny Jesus just like Caiaphas did. That same denial spirit didn't die on that side of the flood. It came right on over here in Ham and all the different ones and all the way down Nimrod and all the different ones down that way. Because Brother Bradham said, people die, spirits don't. That same spirit that persecuted Jesus went over and persecuted the Jews. Listen, when mercy was given to them, they spurned mercy. Now they're waiting for the judgment. Oh, what a time that must have been. Oh, I wish there was some way I could shake the world with that to let them see what the reality is. Souls in prison, paragraph 108. Let's go to number 11. "But after the days of his preaching, his ministry continued on." Because the last group he preached to was the souls that were in hell that could not be forgiven. I have clearly read that from the Bible, from 2 Peter. He went and preached to the souls that were in prison, which is hell, locked up until the day of judgment. Because you see, the judgment isn't now. And there's no burning hell now. See, that's another thing. You denominationals think once you're dead and you go to hell, you're burning. No, they don't know nothing about a 5th dimension or a 6th dimension or 4th dimension. Thank God it took a prophet to go into every one of them, basically, to tell us what was going on. Because Brother Bram said, I was in both places. Remember at J.C. Penney's and that. And when he was falling, when he was a kid, he was falling, remember? And he said, God save me. Because you see, the judgment isn't now, and there is no burning hell now. Somebody tell you the guy's in burning hell now? That's wrong. See, a judge of this earth is just enough to never condemn a man until he's brought to trial. And God will never throw a man into the fiery furnace until first he is condemned by God's own laws. He rejected mercy, so you see, he first has to have a trial, and the trial is the great white throne judgment, but now he's in a place called a prison house. So he's locked in the 5th dimension, can't get out of the 5th dimension. All right, so let's look at the 6th dimension real quick. Hope that wasn't too fast for you. Let's see if you put that on 1.25. But I want to get to this right here because I was going to go jump into the 6th dimension, but I thought, no. Let's talk about paradise for a minute because it's very important. Because it helps to see the true doctrine that nobody in the Old Testament was saved as we are saved. Now, they're justified under the blood of bulls and goats. But they're not born again. Okay? They're put in a place, but watch this. Now, the 6th dimension, I'm going to talk just for a second. Now, the 6th dimension is Christ in Christ. The saints, dead saints, are, look, resting saints, who is completely work finished on earth and has entered into rest with Christ under the altar beautifully. You could parallel it like a wonderful dream that you didn't want to wake up from. Now, that's a big contrast to the ones that want to wake up in the fifth dimension. But look, it ain't a dream. That's kind of southern, but it ain't a dream. It's natural. It's real. But I'm just making a parable for you because the seventh dimension is God alone. So now we're going to talk about paradise. And let's go to Luke 23, verse 42, because paradise was before the sixth dimension. See, there was not a sixth dimension, saints dimension, anywhere in the Old Testament. Okay? Because there was no new birth that eradicated their sins. So they couldn't go in the presence of God. These people in the sixth dimension, they had their sins eradicated on earth by what? Accepting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cleaned their soul out and made them a what? A wheat. And that wheat is what went into the sixth dimension. The cuckabur had to stay here. Because the cuckabur's not going yet. They got to come back and get the cuckabur. But once they come into that body, new body, which is the body that I lived in, it's made new. Right? Everybody okay with that? Because remember, there's no transmigration of souls. You can't take this soul and put it over here. No. You're connected with, when you're given a soul, when you're born, that's you.
That's right.
That carries you either to heaven or hell.
Right.
Luke 23, verse 42. Why in the world would Jesus resurrect in the body he was beat up in? Nail scars, if it didn't mean something. He stayed in the exact body he's in.
Right.
All right. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now watch. Jesus had to correct him because remember, the kingdom is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Watch what Jesus said though. This is the thief on the cross right before he died. I told him, I said, you know, there's been a lot of people in paradise, Brother Russ, but now this guy, this thief, he wasn't in paradise but about a day and a half. Because he came up, you know, with him and went on into glory. Now watch, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today, because they died the same day, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So there was paradise, the bosom of Abraham. What we saw where Lazarus was in that condition after he died, because Lazarus wasn't in the sixth dimension. Lazarus wasn't a born-again believer. Maybe he was after Jesus died, but this Lazarus we're talking about is Old Testament. You got to remember, listen, even Jesus died under the Old Testament.
Right.
But he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. It had to be when he come out of the grave.
Right.
That was a New Testament.
Right.
The testator had died.
Right.
The Old Testator had died.
Right.
And now a New Testament. The book of Acts had to come into being. And there Stephen was the first martyr, so he was the first one to step into that sixth dimension. Had it already prepared. Because you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, my kingdom's come. My kingdom is what? My kingdom is right here. So what did he do? When he come back on the day of Pentecost, he brought the kingdom back. He brought the Holy Ghost back, but it wasn't that the Holy Ghost could go and anoint somebody. It could go into Peter, not anoint Peter. Peter had a problem with a few things. Temper, patience. That's why I believe Peter wrote 2 Peter about how to go up that statue of perfect man, because Peter had to get rid of every one of them. Peter was a prime example. I'll hack them in two. Let them touch you one time. Jesus said, before the crop, the rooster, cock crows three times, you'll deny me. You know why? Because Peter didn't have the kingdom inside of him. He was talking to the kingdom and the kingdom was saying, look, you got some work to do. We got to work on you. But you know what, Peter? I prayed for you. And I like what he said when he went to the tomb. He said, go get my disciples and Peter. Because he knew Peter was probably over there somewhere going, man, he told me I was going to deny him three times. It's a wonder Peter didn't go crazy. But he didn't because he had a commission. Now let's look at number A. This is Demonology 1953. Now this witch of Endor, she called up the spirit of Samuel. And Saul talked to Samuel. So there must be something. That dimension was not exactly all the way set. Because she brought him up and she saw him. And Saul saw him. And Saul could talk to him, kind of like Lazarus and the rich young ruler. They could talk to each other. But they couldn't go and move from one place to the other. Everybody got that? Say amen. If you say amen a few times, you won't go to sleep. Amen? 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 Okay. You might wonder how that could be done. Watch. Now, we heard with our own ears a man stand up somewhere in up north and tell us that that's the reason Brother Branham can come back. It's because of that right there. Did we not hear that? Those of you that went with us to that place up north, heard it with our own ears? The little guy was just a little arrogant dude. He said, see there? Samuel was brought back from another dimension. Of course, they were trying to push their Brother Brown's going to come back. That's under the blood of the bulls and goats it can be done. The prophet they say is going to come back will tell you in just a minute that it can't be done anymore. Because he said, that's Catholicism. Whoa, that's communing with saints. All right, listen. It cannot be done today, no sir. He just answered it. Now you might wonder how that could be done. It cannot be done today, no sir, because the blood of bulls and goats was only awaiting for the time of what? Fulfillment. Right. When a man died in them days, preachers, back me up if you think it's right. When a man died, he died under the atonement of an animal. And his soul went into paradise, and there he stayed until that to the day of redemption, and his soul was in there. So it wasn't just some spiritual thing, it was his soul, it was that person. Alright, now look, demonology number B. Now this, brother, I tell you something, we need to be skinned down and rubbed a little bit to see where we're standing. Amen? Don't you think so? Make right, right. Any person, look, if those saints, now I'm not condemning Catholic saints, but look, listen to this. Look, the reason that the witch of Endor could call the spirit of Samuel, because Samuel couldn't go into the presence of God. If they think they can bring William Branham back into this dimension, then our prophet never went in the presence of God. That's what they're saying. Because Samuel couldn't go into the presence of God. And that little guy, he just laid it out. The witch of Endor called Samuel up. Everybody recognized him. And he was... The problem is, Samuel never got into this dimension. Right? He was talking to Saul. Saul was in this dimension, the time, light, and matter, the three dimensions. But now she called him from another dimension. Watch. Now look. I'm losing my voice. I have to talk in 1.0. I'm not condemning Catholic saints, but look, the reason that the witch of Endor could call the spirit of Samuel, because Samuel couldn't go into the presence of God. He was in paradise, for the blood of bulls and goats would not take away sin. Now, it didn't make them sinners, but their sin was covered, only covered. It was still there. But since Jesus died, he divorced sin and taken away sin, and the believer now goes into the presence of God, and he can't come back. He can't come back. Jesus said in Luke when he was talking about the rich man, he can't return. So if you're interceding with any kind of spirit of someone that's gone on outside of God, Christ, the only mediator between God and man, then you're in spiritualism called religion. Now, where is spiritualism at? So be careful what you say about the Spirit of God. Communion with saints is spiritualism. I'm not making that up. I'm reading it right from the prophet of God. Now, let's read this one right here. Demonology, Owensboro, Kentucky. He preached demonology, and yeah, that's from your old hometown. Demonology. Here he comes climbing up. Brother, she's coming near daylight. I can see the big morning star looking around the grave already. Amen. He can tell a story. Make it so real. It's coming on the third day. Hallelujah. Wait, he's got somebody else over here in paradise. So he don't forget nobody. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Over here in paradise lay some souls. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and those who've been faithful, look, believing the promise of the prophets. And they're laying there waiting with only the blood of bulls and goats. Look, a shadow or a type of his own blood. I can see him go up to paradise. Brother Ram knocked on the door. So there must have been a space there, right? Rich young ruler can't get in. Lazarus can't get out. But when Jesus knocks on the door, here's the reason they're there. Abraham, the faith of Abraham, or the bosom of Abraham is what they call it. Abraham opened the door. Who are you? He said, I am the seed of Abraham. I can hear Daniel say, what? That's the stone I seen hewed out of a mountain without hands. Now look, they never saw Jesus. They saw him in symbol form. But every one of them in paradise. Abraham said, Sarah, that's the man we fed the calf to. Melchizedek. Ezekiel said, what? I saw him coming with such speed. To look like he was powerful with the dust under his feet. What? The wheel in the middle of the wheel. Amen. I can hear one prophet say, I wrestled with this man all night. At the river before I crossed. Hallelujah. Now look. John, the different ones recognized him. That's John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist was put in paradise when he died. As great as John was, because remember, Jesus said, and I didn't bring that quote, but you ought to know what Jesus said. He said, the least in the kingdom was greater than John. Why? Because John didn't have the new birth. John had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, an anointing. But he's in the same place that all these other people are. Amen? So that proves, if you didn't believe it, maybe you ought to believe it now. That the people in the Old Testament did not have the new birth, even John. Listen, that sixth dimension is only for that Genesis 1:26 promised children of God that was before the foundation of the world. God said, I'm going to put them in right here in this place. And I'm not going to move them. They ain't going to want to come back here until the people that are here conquer death. John, the different ones, recognized him. All right, look, 1964, questions and answers, number two. Now, there's a time that the people didn't go into the presence of God when they died. Look, the justified. They were justified. They believed on not the Lord Jesus Christ, but who was talking to them? The Lord Jesus in Jehovah or in whatever you want to call him. The Old Testament Jehovah God, they were speaking of that Jehovah God, which that Jehovah God was Jesus Christ. Amen. They went what? Look, that was in the Old Testament. They went into a place called paradise. And there the souls of the just waited in paradise. But paradise was a place where God kept the souls in like a dreamland. Not at rest. I don't think not turn back to young man and woman. Because Samuel wasn't. Moses and Elijah, they recognized them. They must have not have been turned back young. Why? Jesus Christ hadn't come to totally eradicate that sin. Until the blood, look, kept the souls in a dreamland until the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. For the blood of bulls and goats would not take away sin. It only covered up sin. But Jesus' blood takes away sin. You notice that when he died at Calvary and on his return, let me make sure I read this right. Excuse me. What number am I on? Number, I got them all line. CD. Number D, right? Right. There we go. And you notice when he died at Calvary on his return, he brought out from the grave those dead saints that had died under the atonement of blood of bulls and goats and heifers. And they entered into the city and appeared to many. Now we know that they came out of paradise Paradise was emptied up. Let me read this one right here because this one is really neat. Number E. Let me tell you what happened. This wasn't a quiet scene. Probably on Easter morning, that graveyard was as quiet as it could be. Wasn't nothing stirring at all. But buddy, in another dimension, there was something going on. Watch this. No wonder it brings emotions. No wonder the human heart cannot contain it. Oh, with our conquering faith, we can stand yonder and say, we're justified forever freely. Because he died and was buried and God raised him up again on Easter morning. Then God showed that it was accepted, all the things that he did. Everything freely paid, you can go free now. Rising, he justified freely forever. All no one can never know, can never think of that great day when he rose up and the angels saw it. In the heavens of heavens, the angels sang the praises of God and rejoiced while the Old Testament saints in paradise shouted, hallelujah. Rising, he justified. The heavens shook. The earth shook. Paradise shook. And I know hell shook. Because remember, he went to hell first. Took the keys from the devil, and his little angels looked around and said, we got a leader that can't even get us in our house anymore. Amen? Because Jesus took them all. Hell shook when that great voice come forth up from the grave. He arose. Rising, he justified freely forever. Oh my. Let's look at the future home. Death doesn't change you. Death only changes your dwelling place. Remember Samuel, when he was dead and been buried for 2 years, he was in paradise. And the witch of Endor called him up and looked, and Saul recognized him. So it must have been somebody he knew 2 years ago, not 40 or 50 or 80 years ago. And the witch of Endor called him up and Saul recognized him, and she did too. And fell upon her face. He hadn't changed one bit. He was still the same Samuel. After being dead 2 years, he was still a prophet. He said, tomorrow you'll fall in battle, your son with you, and by this time tomorrow night, you'll be with me. And that's just what happened. See? And when Moses returns back and Elijah for Revelation 11, they'll still be prophets. All right, let's listen to this right here. We'll stop right here. Now remember, Brother Brown talks about the different raptures. There's more than just one. You got it? There's more than just one. There's about four. One, we're going to talk about one. Two is us. Three is 144,000, and four is the general resurrection. All right? The Old Testament saints has gone into his presence. Paradise done away. And the Old Testament saints ascended up at his loud voice when he screamed and gave up the ghost. Why? The sacrifice, the propitiation of their sins that they had waited on, believing that perfect lamb was coming. See, they believed their prophets. Just like we should believe our prophet. Not that he's coming back. He's already brought it. Because why? The sacrifice, the propitiation of their sins that they had waited on, believing that perfect lamb was coming. They had offered the sacrifice, the lamb, and when he died and yielded up the ghost, he screamed with a loud voice and the Old Testament saints awoke. Look, watch the shout and the voice, because remember the second coming, he comes, shout, voice, trump. Shout, voice, and same thing, at his coming. Yielded up the ghost, and when he did, the sacrifice was perfect. Paradise was emptied out, and the Old Testament saints came to the earth again, walked around on the earth, and entered in with him at his rapture. But now let's continue on. Same, just keep going. David said over there, lift up ye everlasting gates, and be ye lifted up. He led captive, captive, give gifts unto men. The Old Testament saints went in with him. They said, who is this King of righteousness? The Lord of glory, mighty in host, mighty host, here they come in marching. Now look, watch what happens. Because we need to stop here and look at something. Jesus led captivity captive. And here he comes with the Old Testament saints. And went in the new gates up there. And said, lift up ye everlasting gates, be ye lifted up, and let the King of Glory come in. The voice came from the inside, who is the King of Glory, the Lord mighty in battle. The gates flew open. Now listen, that has nothing to do with the future home. Because he's taking the Old Testament saints. That has nothing to do with the future home. What is the future home? It's for the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. And these people are not bride. If you're not born again, you're not bride. John was not bride. John the Baptist. Sorry, John the Revelator was. John the Baptist was not. Everybody got that? Even Abraham, he's not considered bride. He has a part. He has a place, but he's not bride. The Lord mighty in battle. So look, what are you saying, Brother Wade? That's not the city John saw coming down in Revelation 22. That must be another place that they're being held at. But I believe that if paradise is emptied out, then they did change back and they went somewhere and they're waiting on me and you, according to Hebrews 11:40. They without us cannot be made perfect. Sure, they're in a condition, but they're not perfect. How can you make somebody that died under the blood of bulls and goats that never knew Jesus Christ more perfect than me and you? Or before us? Can't happen. Not part of the plan. Right. Well, I didn't get many amens on that. Yeah. Not part of the plan. Right. You talk about, yeah, no, they're not part of the bride plan. Right. They're part of the whole eternal plan of redemption. They will be there. But listen, it's not recorded anywhere that they're going to be in the city with us. Right. You got your 12 patriarchs, you got your 12 tribes of Israel, your 12 apostles and 12 prophets. But there's no recording that Abraham's going to live in the city. There's no recording that Isaiah is going to live in the city. Because that city is only for the bride. Now they're part of the economy of God. No more, no less. But they're not going to live in that city because Brother Abraham said only in that city. That city is made what? By the bride, by her desire. Now I want God. God's going to brag on us. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on what God's already done. The Lord mighty in battle, the gates flew open. And Jesus, a conqueror, led captive captive. Then they had believed on him and the word had come to them. There the Old Testament saints laying in there waiting. He led captivity captive, ascended on high, took the Old Testament saints and went in. There is one rapture already passed. That was a rapture of the Old Testament saints. Yes, sir, they are somewhere, but they are not in the sixth dimension. And they are not in a future home. Where are they? I don't know. I can't name a name of a place. But I'll promise you, they're not going to be perfected until me and you get perfected. Why? Part of the plan. Don't tell me. Listen. There's a lot of things we did in our life. But I've never had my best friend killed so I could take his wife. I've never killed an Egyptian. I've never went into a whore and had children. You see what I'm saying? That's what the Old Testament was. Because that was types and shadows. They had to do that to type all that the way down through here. But when the blood of Jesus Christ takes away sin and takes it out of your life, he doesn't just cover it. He takes it away. And when he takes it away, you're not a murderer anymore. You're not a thief anymore. I'm sorry. Any of that. The future home is for the bride. And the bride and Jesus Christ alone. Now the millennium is different. That's why there's a difference in part of the millennium and the future home. Right. Now, in the millennium, they can be a lot of things. We're there on a honeymoon. There's a fifth sealed Jew. There's 144,000. Don't know about the others. You understand what I'm saying? But that's not our home. Our home is coming in Revelation 22 after God destroys every bit of this and after God takes all those demons and destroys them in the lake of fire, then we come back. Now watch. What is the second resurrection? What is the second resurrection? It's a resurrection not of them that we just talked about. Musicians, get ready to come. Not them right there. They're in another compartment. Sure, Jesus eradicated their sin. Anything that was against them has been covered. I'm not covered. Eradicated. But they were not bride because they did not receive the new birth while they were here on earth. You and I, as the bride of Jesus Christ, we receive Christ into our soul here on earth. If we have to pass away, that's okay. But there's somebody going to come to a place, the shout, the voice, and the trumpet, just like there was in the Old Testament. But what are we going to do? I wrote myself a little footnote. What is the sixth dimension that we're going to talk about? It's the bride that's gone on. Right? That is the second resurrection. Because the second resurrection is not the Jews. It's not the Old Testament saints. The second resurrection is the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we, which are alive. So what is the second coming? The live bride and the bride that's went on that's coming back into this dimension. That is your second coming. The only reason we're going to make it is because of three things. The shout, the voice, and the trumpet of God. Amen. That's all. They've had their time in that sixth dimension. There's millions in that sixth dimension. They've never heard of William Branham. Millions, probably out of 50 million, 45 of them never heard of him. But Brother Ram don't save your soul. Right. Jesus Christ, everybody knew who he was in that dimension. Yes. Amen? Because they accepted him in this dimension. Right. So they're waiting. They heard their shout, voice, and trump, but it was in partiality. Because they had to pass away and go over into this part. Because you know what? Look, we'll read it next Sunday. Paul has his shout. Paul didn't preach Brother Ram's message. The fullness. You understand what I mean? Irenaeus, Martin, because Brother Ram gets into that sixth dimension and he looks and he says, did Paul make it? Well, now, you'd think if they were all in the sixth dimension together, Paul's people would come running up to Brother Branham and Irenaeus' people would come. But why did Brother Ram have to say, did Paul make it? He didn't see him. But what did he say? He said, if Paul made it, and the angel said yes, and I think. He said, well, I know I'll make it because I preached the same thing Paul did. Right. And remember, Brother Branham's group said, we're resting on that. Man. They're resting on, let me just put it this way. Let's stand. Musicians come. And I'm not making anything out of us, but I'm telling you, those who are alive and remain are special. Amen. Those that have went on have completed a journey. They're done. They're finished. They don't need a seventh seal. Amen. To change their body. This is the, listen, the seals didn't open in the sixth dimension. The seals didn't open in heaven. The seals opened in them first three dimensions. Right here. So this is where it's going to have to culminate. It's not going to culminate there. Because they're saying, they said we're resting on that. Right. What is that? We are that. We're resting on, Brother Brown, what you said. Now you got to go back. We'll read it Sunday. Because Brother Brown wanted to stay. He said, no. They told him, you got to go back. In other words, you're not finished. That was 1960. He hadn't even revealed the seals yet. He hadn't got into the great mystery that he got into in 63, 64, and 65. They said, you got to go back. Amen. Your race is not finished. He said, do I have to go back to that? Seeing his body laying there at 50 years old, I think, or something like that. Angel said, you know, your work's not done yet. You got to go back. Now listen, he came back and gave us a message that's going to get him out of there. Because now he is in there. And his body's laying up there in Jeffersonville. That don't belittle nothing. Nobody. And those that have gone on. But there is a group of people that will take the shout, the voice, and the trumpet and put them all three together. Because remember, three is completion. Right? Three is perfection. Three is perfect. Because the perfect in three. All right, you and I have to take the shout, the voice, and the trumpet, and we have to make it so real that they don't say just we're resting on that. They're saying we're resting on us. Because the dead saints are dependent on me and you. Amen. God in me and you to bring them back into this dimension. But they'll never come back into this dimension, Brother Russ, until death has been destroyed by somebody. Right. Why would you come from a place of perfect peace back into... They know what this is. Like Brother Brown said, do I have to go back to that? They said, yep, you do. You got to go back. We can't, but you got to go back. Well, now he's over there and he can't get back here without somebody's help. His message in a group of people. The shout, the voice, and the trump of God, never mind. I'm not going to cover that. He's done his work. Trevor read it this weekend. He said, under her messenger, she will be the final voice. Amen. What? The shout, the trump? It's going to create a resurrection. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a resurrection message. We just keep walking. Just keep walking. Because listen, folks, just as Jesus came to shout, voice, trumpet, to bring the Old Testament under his wing, and he took them somewhere, right? Now remember, they weren't his body. Right? Think. Abraham, Isaac, that's not his body. But he took them somewhere, though, and dropped them off. And he's waiting in the seventh dimension because he can't come back here anymore. Remember, he came here one time. With his body in him. When he come back the second time, or he come back on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Ghost to create his body. Amen? To create his body. Therefore, now he can't come back here. His body's already here. We become connected to him, and we go what? Meet him in the air. Then we all come back in the millennium, because see, then we're his body. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. That's what we got to look at. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Paradise was a wonderful thing, but when we get in that sixth dimension, it's going to be even better. Nation are breaking. Israel's awakening. It's foretold. Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. One rapture's already finished. And Jesus has something to do with it. This rapture coming up, his body's going to have something to do with it. The victory is growing. See, we're watching. See what happened in the world. See what happened in the Jews. But we need to know what's happening to us. Amen. It's all right to watch that sign. But now sometimes you can watch a sign and you can run all off the road. We need to stay on the highway. I don't say forget about it, but he just said watch them. He didn't say go over there and get involved in it. He said, watch Israel, watch Russia. Look at all these names that the prophet brought in that we're watching now. Watching Russia doing what they're doing. Watching Rome. We know it's going to all end up in Catholicism. We know that. It's not a mystery how this is going to end up. Because it's going to end up with us being squeezed up. And Christ going to the Jews through two prophets. Just listen now. Oh, the day of redemption is near. men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Brother Bram said it was lamp trimming time 60 years ago. I think it probably is now, more than it was. That Jesus the Christ is our God. Patience burns God's revelation. Let's sing this right here, and then we'll be dismissed. Apostles have trod. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clean. Look up, your redemption is near. Amen, it's right here. This eternal plan of redemption didn't go somewhere. You're walking through it right now. You're walking through it right now. Everything you're doing is making that plan come to pass. Everything that God saw is right here. Amen? You believe God?
Amen.
You believe God will do it for you?
Yes.
Then let's trust in God. Then this weekend we'll be back together. And God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for being here tonight. I don't know why I lost my voice. Brother Russ done talked me to talk too much. You talk too much, man. No, you listen too much. Maybe that's what it is. But thank Brother Russ for coming, you know, all the way from Minnesota. And he's a faithful believer that got stuck up in the wilderness. We're trying to get him out of the wilderness and get him down here, so we'll see. But God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for coming. Pray one for another. We got a lot of sick. I want to see this place full back again with the saints, and we'll do it. It'll be here. Just don't worry. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening that you've given us, Lord, to just for a few minutes to realize this great plan. Lord, you had everything figured out before the foundation of the world. And it's all now being played out before your bride. And Lord, I believe this ought to give us more confidence than it did a month ago, a week ago, a year ago. It should give us a daily confidence that we are walking in the truth, that we are walking in the light of the word, that we're walking as the song says, where the apostles have trod. We're walking through what they saw. And Lord, I thank you for the things you've given us, Lord. I pray that you'd be with us, take care of us on the highways, be with us the rest of the week, keep these sicknesses away from us, keep our pastor strong, Lord, be with all the ones that are traveling, Lord, that you'll be with them and bless them as we come back together in one in you, Lord, on Sunday. Lord, we don't need one day to honor your resurrection. We honor it every week.
Amen.
Every Sunday we think of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we can make it, folks, from week to week, is to realize that he is risen. Not going to rise, but he's already risen.
Amen.
And we should be risen and sitting in heavenly places with him. Thank you for all things, Lord. We ask you blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.